The scripture reading is from the Gospel of Luke. It picks up the narrative of the first Christmas, actually right where we left off on Christmas Eve, reading from that same chapter in Luke. I'm told that we had about, between the three services, over 500 people. Do we have an exact number? 503. Okay, thank you. That children's service was something else again, if you weren't here. Reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 15 through 20, listen to God's word. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Christmas really is more than one day. In our church tradition, you probably are aware that Christmastide lasts 12 days. You know the song, the 12 days of Christmas? Well, that those gifts of Christmas, partridge in a pear tree and all of that, signify the Christmas season. It begins on Christmas Day and goes to January 5th. If you count that, that's 12 days. January 6th is Epiphany, and that is when we usually celebrate the coming of the Magi to see the newborn child. In some Christian traditions, Christmas is celebrated on Epiphany, on January 6th. You may know of some who do that. Maybe that's not a bad idea. You can take advantage of all the after Christmas sales. If you were here Christmas Eve at the 8 and 11 service, I spoke a little bit about an event that happened 100 years ago this Christmas. And it was during World War I, the first year of World War I. I won't go over all of it, but some of you have seen this on the news. It's been called attention to. That is that on the first Christmas at the Western Front, which was some 300 miles long, by the way, over about two-thirds of it, the German and Allied troops on one side in their trenches, the British and French and other their Allied troops in other trenches, sometimes just 100 yards or so apart from each other. Through various courses of events, through various reasons, starting on Christmas Eve, stopped firing at each other. And they came and they met in no man's land sometimes. They helped each other bury their dead. They even had joint services. They sang with each other. They even played soccer in the muddy fields and in some places, and it was an absolutely remarkable event. True story, 100 years ago. Of course, the war continued. The truce lasted a few days in some places. I think it lasted even longer in isolated places along the front, but sooner or later, they were back to killing each other in that war. I made reference to a book that is about that evening. It's called Silent Night, The Story of World War I Christmas Truce, and it's written by a man named Stanley Weintraub, Weintraub. And this is taken from journals of those who participated and others of the soldiers from there. And at the very end of the book, except for an epilogue that talks about some of the survivors, modern-day survivors, which now there are none. It says this. This is how the book ends. A celebration of the human spirit, the Christmas truce remains a moving manifestation of the absurdities of war. A very minor Scottish poet of Great War vintage, Frederick Niven, may have got it right in his poem, A Carol from Flanders, which closed, this is the last verse of A Carol from Flanders. O ye who read this truthful rhyme, from Flanders kneel and say, God speed the time when every day shall be as Christmas Day. Of course, that was the wish, that same peace that came on Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and following, that every day would be as Christmas Day and that kind of peace. Well, what if? That's actually the title of the last chapter of the book, What If? And it, I'll just tell you, I won't go into the details, but it envisions what the world would have been like, speculatively, if the Christmas truce was the end to the war. The world would be very, very different. I will mention this. One German soldier who was there, who did not participate, but was there, was a corporal by the name of Adolf Hitler. He was witness to this, but did, as many others, did not participate in the Christmas truce. The world would have been different. Well, what if every day were Christmas Day? Okay, now we're going to show our age, because some will recognize this name, some will not recognize this name. How, you know, and this is rhetorical, I don't expect you to do a show of hands. How many of you remember an actress by the name of Loretta Young? Yeah? I said you don't have to raise your hand, but thank you for doing it anyway. I see some blank faces, and I see some nods of approval. Well, Loretta Young had a regular TV show, and she was kind of a glamorous actress, at least it seemed to me from my, 4 years old or something when I watched this, I don't know, from my youth. And she would come sweeping in at the beginning in a beautiful dress, and she would introduce, I think it was an hour-long show. And the story was different, with different actors, different characters, every week. And it was called The Loretta Young Show. Well, one week, she showed a story that was based on a story written by William Dean Howells, H-O-W-E-L-L-S, called Christmas Every Day. And in this Loretta Young story, and I since have been able to find the Howells story upon which this is based, there was a boy in the Loretta Young show, but in the story it was a young girl. And in the Loretta Young show, the boy petitioned Santa. In the other one, I won't give all these different ones, it was a girl who petitioned the Christmas fairy to have every day be Christmas. Every day. Christmas Day came. They got up and they opened the presents, and there was joy and everything, and everybody went to bed tired that night, and they got up the next day, and it was Christmas again. More toys. More, whatever they had, turkey or goose for dinner, they had that again. And it went on and on and on, and I honestly can't remember how long it went on in the Loretta Young show. I think just for a week or two. But in the story, the original story, it went on for a year. And in the story, people weren't happy about it, that Christmas was every day. Let me get a little bit of the sense here. After a while, this I'm reading from the story by Howells, turkeys became so scarce that they got to be about $1,000 a piece. And they got to passing off almost anything for turkeys. And cranberries, well, they asked a diamond a piece for cranberries. And all the woods and orchards were cut down for Christmas trees. And where the woods and orchards used to be, it looked just like a stubble field with stumps. What else do we want to say? Well, after it had gone on about 3 or 4 months, the little girl, whenever she came into the room in the morning, saw those great ugly lumping stockings dangling at the fireplace and the disgusting presents around everywhere, and she just burst out crying. But by that time, by Thanksgiving, now this has been going on from Christmas to Thanksgiving. I'm reading again from the story. By that time, people didn't carry presents around nicely anymore. They flung them over the fence or through the window or anything, and instead of taking great pains to write for dear Papa or Mama or brother or sister or Susie or Sammy or Billy or Bobby or Jimmy or Zimmy or Jenny and whoever it was, and troubling to get the spelling right, they used to write in the gift books, "Take it, you horrid old thing." And then they would go and bang it against the front door. And nearly everybody had built barns to hold their presents, but pretty soon the barns overflowed. And they find out who did this, the girl, in this story. And they're not very nice. They're not very nice to her. They want it to stop. And it does stop after a year. Well, in the Loretta Young story, it's not quite that dramatic, but it gets the sense, get the feel of what seems like a good idea at the time of Christmas every day really turns out not to be such a great idea. I don't know, young parents, I'm sure, and maybe others in particular, went to bed that night. I did after the Christmas Eve services, very tired. And if Christmas was every day, I would be one very unhappy person, as would others. Well, Christmas every day, in one sense, seems like not a bad idea. Certainly, if it stops war, maybe we'd be willing to put up with some of that. But wouldn't it be great if we didn't have to go through all the presents and the geese and the turkeys and all of that every day, but if we could take something, hold on to something of the spirit of Christmas, the celebration of the birth of the Christ child, and the way out of that people do at least for a short time, or may relate to each other, like the peace of 1914. One of our wonderful poets that I read from a collection of hers, The Road to Bethlehem, every year, it's Anne Weems is her name. This is called The Holding, or just Holding, one word, Holding. The day is here and we made it to Bethlehem. The time has come for kneeling and we've seen the child. There is singing in the stable and we want desperately to hold on to it. Hold on to the star and the angels and the spirit of love. How do we hold on to the Christmas spirit? Why can't every day be Christmas? The world mutters, be realistic. And sometimes we church people too mutter. On our way back from Bethlehem, sometimes we forget what we've been warned about in a dream, to return another way. Once we've seen the child, we're left holding hearts wherein angels dance and stars sing. Once we've been to Bethlehem, every day is Christmas. Holding on to the Christmas spirit. Henry Van Dyke, who wrote the story, The Fourth Wise Man, or The Other Wise Man, is it The Fourth Wise Man? The Fourth Wise Man, wrote this, I guess you'd call it a prose poem, Keeping Christmas. He says this, "There is a better thing than the observance of Christmas Day, and that is keeping Christmas. Are you willing to forget what you have done for other people and to remember what other people have done for you? To ignore what the world owes you and to think what you owe the world? To put your rights in the background and your duties in the middle distance and your chances to do a little more than your..." Okay, sorry, I skipped the line. "To put your rights in the background and your duties in the middle distance and your chances to do a little more than your duty in the foreground. to see that your fellow men are just as real as you are and try to look behind their faces to their hearts hungry for joy. To own that probably the only good reason for your existence is not what you are going to get out of life, but what you are going to give. To close your book of complaints against the management of the universe and look around you for a place where you can sow a few seeds of happiness. Are you willing to do these things even for a day? Then you can keep Christmas. Are you willing to stoop down and consider the needs and desires of little children? To remember the weakness and loneliness of people who are growing old? To stop asking how much your friends love you and ask yourself whether you love them enough? To bear in mind the things that other people have to bear in their hearts? To try to understand what those who live in the same house with you really want without waiting for them to tell you? To trim your lamp so that it will give more light and less smoke? And to carry it in front so that your shadow will fall behind you, to make a grave for your ugly thoughts and a garden for your good thoughts, with the gate open. Are you willing to do these things even for a day? Then you can keep Christmas. Are you willing to believe that love is the strongest thing in the world, stronger than hate, stronger than evil, stronger than death? And that the blessed life which began in Bethlehem, he says 1900 years ago when this was written, is the image and brightness of the eternal love, then you can keep Christmas. And if you keep it for a day, why not always? But you can never keep it alone. We can keep Christmas. And every day can be Christmas if we keep the Christmas spirit. When we were studying the book of Revelation, and I'm not going to reopen that study, we looked at the glorious passage at the end of the book. And this does have to do with Christmas. In the 21st chapter of the book of Revelation, the next to the last chapter of the Bible. And we noted that the language of this, if you were with us, you'll remember, we noted that the language that is used about God in this passage, in a hymn in this passage, is the same language that is used to describe Christmas, the Christ event. For in the Gospel of John, the first chapter, it talks about how this one who was born is the Word, who was with God and was God. And then down in verse 14, we noted, it says, "And the Word became flesh and lived among us." And I noted then that word lived means pitched a tent, tabernacled, moved into the neighborhood, Eugene Peterson says. Well, that same word that describes the coming of God in the flesh to live in our midst is what John, the writer of Revelation, also envisions what the consummation of history will be. And he says this. This is Revelation chapter 21, verses 3 and 4. Just about done. Says this, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne of God saying, see the home of God, the tent of God, the dwelling of God." It's the same word as he dwelt among us. Tabernacle. "The home of God is among men and women. He will dwell with them." Same word. As the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, so God will dwell among us, no longer in the sanctuary in heaven, no longer limited in the tent of meeting, in the sanctuary, in the temple, in Jerusalem. All this is rehashed for those who stuck through that. It's describing the same kind of thing. It's basically saying this, and I think we said it then, that in the consummation of history, every day will be Christmas. Because the significance of Christmas is God in the flesh coming to live with us through God's Son, Jesus Christ. And in the consummation of history, God will live in the new creation, the new heaven and the new earth, with us. That's Christmas. The same Word will dwell, will pitch his tent, will move into the neighborhood. That's the significance of Christmas, the incarnation, and that's what eternity will be. Every day will be Christmas. Now listen to what Christmas will be like. See, the home of God is among mortals, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. Here it is. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For the first things have passed away. That's what it's going to be like. But you know, we can help make every day like that now. Can't we? Can't we help wipe away the tears of those who mourn death? Can't we stand with them, especially at this difficult time of the year? We wait for death to be no more in the eternal kingdom, but can't we help each other face it and prepare for it and commit each other to the Lord when the time comes? Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. Mourning, M-O-U-R-N. Can't we help alleviate the pain in people's lives? Can't we cry with those who cry, weep with those who weep? Can't we mourn with those who mourn? Until mourning and crying and pain are no more. And for the first things have passed away, can't we help each other to break out of the old patterns of our life? Perhaps for some, it may be the addictions of our lives. Perhaps for others, it may be the hatred with which we'd carried grudges throughout our lives. For others, it could be the despair in which they face their lives, sometimes even wanting their lives to end because the pain is so great. Can't we be with those to help them find newness in their life? We don't have to wait another year for Christmas. We don't have to have fairy tales about toys coming every day. We can hold on to the spirit of Christmas every day because we can live towards the reality of the eternal Christmas. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.